in Luke chapter 12 in verse 20, the scripture calls him thou fool. Now, in the New Testament, there are two words for fool. And we're going to probably preach another sermon where we'll look at this other word. But one word in the New Testament for fool is moros. And that's where we get the word moron from. A second word that's used for fool in the New Testament is this word that we're looking at today, which is aphron, which means a stupid person with an ego problem. A stupid person with an ego problem. And so as we consider the fool today, let us put it in that perspective.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of I Pity the Fool from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of I Pity the Fool.
That if, as we have to make decisions, that, yes, we consult with God. There's no question about it that you come before the Lord and that you bring your petitions before him and that you seek him for his wisdom and that you seek him for his direction. No question about that. But I believe also there are wise counselors that God puts in our lives. Maybe they might be trusted Christian friends. And instead of going down to the place where everybody knows your name, and they're always glad you came, you might not want to go there. You may want to go to the house of the Lord where there's some godly people with godly wisdom that can open up the word of God and share with you and help you in some of the decisions that you have to make. Now notice it says that, that he thought within himself, right? He thought within himself. This Greek word right here actually means to reckon thoroughly, deliberately, by reflection or discussion. So, in other words, the man sat down and thought to himself, man, I've had a bumper crop. Yes, you sure have. What are you going to do with the crop? Well, you know, there's a whole lot of things that I could do with it. I could do this, I could do that, I could do this. Oh, but what are you going to do? Well, you know what? I think that I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater barns. He consulted with a committee of one. And so I'm here to tell you this morning, I pity the fool that just consults with himself. Notice that God must have been somewhere in his life. Because in a little bit, we're going to see God going to show up and talk to him. So he didn't even turn to God. He consulted with himself. I pity the fool who consults with himself and not God. Second, I pity the fool who comes to a greedy conclusion and not a godly conclusion. Look at verses 18 and 19. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and I will build greater barns. And there I will bestow all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The greedy conclusion of self-consultation. First of all, we see he came to the conclusion that I'm going to build bigger barns, right? Now, what would the godly conclusion be? Right? I got all this. I'm going to be a blessing to others. Go to that next slide. I love this. I love this. One of the early church fathers, Ambrose of Milan, said the rich man had access to plenty of storage space in the mouths of the poor and needy. In the mouths of the poor and needy. Again, this is the problem with self-consultation is because you come to poor conclusions that Jesus said over and over and again that we need to be a blessing to the poor and the needy. Friday afternoons, we have the Master's Kitchen where people come and they get a meal. And I'm going to tell you what, this I say this without reservation, that this meal is tastier than any meal that you can get at a restaurant. Them people back there in that kitchen, they cook with love. I remember there was people that used to come on Friday afternoons, and I don't know how poor and needy they were. They just came because the food was good. And they sat at, well, this was before COVID, right? And they sat at the table and ate and fellowshiped. And we had to put them out. The fellowship got so good, the food got so good, right? But so we see here that God has called us, that when we are blessed with access, that we look for opportunities to give to those who are in need. And this guy just disregarded. You know, just think, in his consultation with self, I wonder if it ever came up. Maybe we could be a blessing to the poor. Maybe we can be a blessing to those who need. But and before we're too hard, here's where I lose some of y'all. Here's where after church I have to call for the bodyguards to come up here and stand around. Before we're too hard on this rich fool, let us consider that oftentimes, oftentimes when we are, I'm having a hard time getting it out, that when we are blessed with an abundance, do our thoughts go to, how can I bless somebody else? Or do we store it up in our treasure house of our bank account? Or do we say, okay, now I can put in that swimming pool that I wanted to put in all that, right? Or I can do this or I can do that. How often? I share with you, and so I'm just sharing this. This doesn't happen to me all the time. But I went to a funeral here in this community. And I wasn't the preacher at the funeral. I just attended. And on my way out, somebody shook my hand, and I fell and put something in my hand, and I put it in my pocket, right? So the first thing I did when I got in my car, you know what I did? It was a $100 bill. And the first thing the Lord said, that's not for you. I said, oh, right? So I came back here to Bethany. And as soon as I walked in the door, I saw one of the saints. And I said, here, God told me to give this to you. And I gave it to him. They said, wow, you know, I need a new pair of eyeglasses. And I was trying to figure out how I was going to do it. See, you know, again, I'm not saying that I do that every time. You know, I wish I would to God that's what I did. But sometimes, you know, we have to, when we are blessed with an abundance, we have to ask the question, is this for somebody else? Does God want me to bless someone else? And so, you know, I pity the fool. I pity the fool who comes to greedy conclusions and not godly conclusions. It says, I will build bigger barns. He should have been a blessing to others. Notice another conclusion that he came to. He says this. He says, I will say in verse 19 to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. He said, I'm set for life. I don't need anybody else. I can take care of myself. And instead, if he would have came to a godly conclusion, he would have realized that God was the one that could take care of him. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, all these barns filled with wheat and grain, all these things I will add unto you. See, when you just consult with self, you come to the wrong conclusions. He came to the conclusion that he would be at peace. Notice what he says here. He says, soul, thou hast much good laid up for many years. Look at this. Take ease. Right? Be at peace. Man, you don't have to worry about a thing for the rest of your life. Take ease and be at peace. But he failed to realize that peace is not in material possessions. Because as he's going to see here in a minute, you can lose that in a second. Man, look at the people in Florida who, when the hurricane came, they lost everything. Everything they lost. And we can think about people who have had house fires and they have lost everything. You can't put your peace in things. You can't say, well, because I got all this. You know, even sometimes, you know, you can't say, because I got this retirement, that I'm at peace. No, man, you still, your peace has to be in God. Your peace has to come from a right relationship with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1 says, we have peace with God. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, Paul said, let the peace of God that passes all understanding guard your heart and mind. It didn't say things. That your peace is rooted and grounded in God. This man had his peace rooted and grounded in things. Notice, he thought that he was going to have a happy life. Notice what he says. He thinks that he's going to conclude with a happy life. He says, and I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry, and be happy. His happiness was rooted in his possessions. Is your happiness rooted in your possessions? Is your joy rooted in the things that you own? See, we don't need to seek to have a happy life, even though we may have happiness in life. That shouldn't be our goal. Our goal should not be to have a happy life where we can eat, drink, and be merry. You know what our goal should be? To have a blessed life. To have a blessed life. And so happiness can come and go. I shared with you that when I was out in the world, that my friends, we would all, you know, do our thing, right? And the first thing they would say, Glaze, quote some Richard Pryor for us. And I had memorized, see, sometimes, man, you know, sometimes them old worldly ways, man, you got to rebuke them in your mind, right? Because sometimes those things that Richard Pryor said come back, and I say, Lord! But I would quote Richard Pryor, man, and we would just sit out. There was a bridge. We would sit out on the bridge, man, and just have a good time. Laugh and joke and be happy. But I remember when I went home at night and I laid down in the bed, when all the get high was gone, when all the friends were gone, when all the laughter was gone, I was just left there by myself. And that's what this rich fool was doing. He was rooting his happiness in the things of this world. But when you can root yourself in Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which bringeth forth fruit in his season. Its leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. That's the blessed life. God wants us to seek the blessed life. When I seek happiness in this life, happiness can come and go. But when I seek joy, joy is permanent. And as a songwriter said, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it. and a hurricane, a house fire, a tornado, whatever, can't take it away. This joy that I have. And so we see, I pity the fool that seeks happiness in this life. I pity the fool who comes to God, greedy conclusions instead of godly conclusions. And then my final point is that I pity the fool who labors for the temporal and not the eternal. In verses 20 and 21. But God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. We see the temporal versus the eternal in these verses. Death was coming upon this man before he knew it. That night, he was going to die. And in God's eyes, he came up short. My friend, when you labor for this world, when you build possessions and the things of this world, that's the desire of your heart, that's what you work for. I can stand here right now and let you know that when you stand before God in eternity, you're going to come up short. You're going to come up short. Man, God wants us to have nice things. God blesses us with nice things. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But when nice things have us, that's where the problem comes in. And we have to learn how to separate between the possessions that God has blessed us with and how we use them for his honor and glory. Because, see, had he thought about the eternal, he would have realized that instead of God saying, you fool, think about this. Instead of God saying, you fool, instead of God saying, you fool, he would have said, well done. Thou good and faithful. Wow. Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. That's what I want to hear. You know, as I labor, and I know that I haven't got it right all the way. But you know, I'm striving. I'm trying to do the best that I can. And I truly want to hear that when I stand before him, for him to say, well done. You know, I want to hear from God the way that I used to like my steaks. Well done. Right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Notice the second thing. He labored for the eternal, and he was leaving his treasures to someone else. God said, then who shall those things be? Solomon in Ecclesiastes said, here's my dilemma. Solomon said, here's my problem. That all this wealth that I've amassed, that one day I'm going to leave it behind, and I don't know what that person is going to be, a fool or a wise man. Right? The rich man, the rich fool didn't have to worry about that anymore. You know, because he was leaving it. He was getting up out of here, and he was leaving it behind to somebody else. Right? And how many times, and I know this is not anybody sitting here this morning, so I'm not talking about you. I'm not talking about you. But how many times have people been left something by their parents or a loved one, and they ran through that stuff like a hot knife through butter? Right? Okay, all right. So y'all never heard that before. All right, okay. Yeah. This man was going to leave. Who was he going to leave it to? He was going to leave it to somebody. And if he left it to a fool, it was going to be used up in a foolish way. But just think. Jesus said, lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And had he saw that the mouths of the poor and the needy were good storehouses, guess what? He would have laid up treasures that will follow him. That they would have followed him throughout eternity. they would have followed him beyond this life. That what we do in this life will soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. Your treasures will follow you. But if you just lay them up for this world, you're going to leave them behind. And you don't know if the person is going to be fool or wise. And that's going to be your reward right there. Done on this earth. And then he said that he had laid up treasures for self. Right? All these things for self. That now he wasn't even going to enjoy. And we should be rich toward God. You know, what does it mean to be rich towards God? It means that you have a powerful relationship with God. It means that you have great service for God. It means that you have a great love for God. It means that you do great things for God. That's what it means to be rich towards God. This guy had treasures for himself. He laid them up for himself. And instead of being rich toward God, he was poor toward God. And you know, just think at that moment, when God said, this night your soul should be required of thee, there was nothing else that he could do. Nothing else that he could do. It was done. It was over. And we don't want to come to the place where it's over and there's nothing that we could do about it. You know, I often think, as I shared with the congregation, you know, I've had the opportunity to try out for two professional football teams. Dallas Cowboys and Denver Broncos. And even now, sometimes I think, right, I'll be sitting back. I say, you know what, I wonder if I'd have did more squats, you know. I wonder if I'd have did more speed running. I wonder if I'd have studied more film and got better techniques. I even think about that now. I said, I wonder if I would have made it, right? But here I am. I'm 60 years old. And there's not a thing that I can do right now to go back and change anything. And my friend, when you come to that point, as this rich fool came to, there's nothing else, nothing he can do. It was done. It was over. So that's why we need to be about the business now of not consulting with ourselves and coming up with temporal things, but that we consult with God and we build for eternity. And I close with this quote, missionary that was killed, Jim Elliot. I love what he says here. And this would be something that you might want to write down, that you might want to memorize, and that is, he is no fool. You don't want to be a fool. Jim Elliot says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. And that's the problem with the rich fool. He tried to keep that which he could not keep. And he failed to gain that which he could not lose. Don't let that be your testimony. Don't let that be your testimony that you held on to something here that's going to be taken from you one day in place of holding on to something that you can never lose. I pity the fool that takes the attitude that this rich fool took.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Everybody Plays the Fool Sometimes, from our series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, I Pity the Fool, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request I Pity the Fool. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request I Pity the Fool, or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, Lessons to be Learned from the Song of Fools, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.